Peak Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
Yep, exploring the end of the age of oil. The point of these weekly explorations is not just to understand our age, but to change it. To encourage you to make changes in your own lives, and to work politically to change the society we've built together, so that as oil supplies become more expensive and scarce, we're ready. To make sure we have a backup plan. More than that, in some ways, to make our backup plan the way we live our lives. We buy from local vendors, we eat food we've grown ourselves, we've improved our homes so that it takes minimal energy to keep them snug and warm when they're buffeted by cold winter storms. We bicycle or motorcycle or carpool or walk to our jobs and other places we go. The thing is, if you're willing to keep the radio on to listen to some guy talk about the end of the age of oil, you probably have at least some openness to accepting that the world is near peak oil production, and that the next decade or two are likely to see sharp drops in the amount of oil available and sharp increases in its price. At least, I figure you're open to the idea. Maybe you just can't get to the off switch because your hands are full washing dishes or changing a diaper or something. In any case, what about the large number of people who don't believe in or haven't thought about the changes that I think are ahead in the next decade or two? How to reach them? A couple transition towns in Washington state recently shared their method, and I think it's pretty valuable. Judy Alexander of Port Townsend, Washington, says her organization has helped 120 neighborhoods prepare for long-term power outages, floods, and other disasters. They've worked with local emergency responders to let people know the yo-yo principle. You're on your own for at least the first 3 days of any disaster. Emergency responders recommend that everyone have enough food and other preparations for those 3 days, and preferably 3 weeks or more. Alexander said that the people they've worked with have started purchasing their food on annual cycles instead of weekly. The other Washington state organization was a Methow Valley Community Preparedness Committee, and Christy Laguza-Bozeman explained that they organized a fair at the farmers market helping people assess and increase their preparedness. Her organization prepared for months, reaching out to a broad variety of community organizations to get them to send their members to the family-friendly fair. There, they also signed up neighborhood leaders for future preparation work. We need broad-based preparation for a time of scarcer oil. Individuals don't have much chance of successfully adapting. It takes a community. It takes people with skills in farming and building and healthcare and education and many other things working together. Here in Transition Town Montpelier, we've had initial conversations with emergency management officials about using their expertise to help us help neighborhoods prepare for disasters. They've been quite helpful and welcoming. One veteran member of a volunteer fire department talked about how difficult it is to get people to do the hard work of protecting the community. It's clear he was glad for more help. James Howard Kunstler refers to what he calls in his book the long emergency of converging crises in the 21st century, when oil shortages, climate change, epidemic diseases, and other disasters happen simultaneously. Preparing for the short emergency, like a flood, can be a significant step to preparing for the long emergency. Think about contacting emergency responders near you and asking how you can help increase your neighborhood's disaster preparedness. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.